G'day everybody and welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. Today it's the 2 minute warning for round five. If you haven't subscribed to the show, please do that. Leave a rating and leave a review. All right, get stuck in. This is the Hardball Gets AFL show. My name's Nick Rinn, joined by Xavier Ellison on far better audio than we've managed in the last couple of weeks. Ryan Daniels from the Gold Coast Hub. How are you, mate?
I demanded better audio. I've become a diva. I refuse to go on the podcast without better audio.
He's getting a bit of heat on Reddit and Twitter, and now he's just...
Mate, I mentioned it 3 weeks ago, and you'd think the bloke who owns Channel 7 West would have had this sorted. Not hard. All I needed was a laptop and a Zoom meeting. And sure enough, lo and behold, guess what's happened? I've got what I needed and it's running so much smoother.
We're now reaching the levels of time for a beer.
Yeah, you are. You're now in my category.
So what is happening over there in the hub, mate? We'll start with a little news update, seeing as you're the news man around town.
Give us what you got.
A hub date?
Yeah, give us a hub date.
Yeah, there's some stuff brewing away. Obviously, everything's about fixtures now and what happens next, because in reality, Victoria's, you know, a hellhole, and everyone's got to get out of there as soon as they possibly can. And I think what we're looking at now is the likelihood that every Victorian club might be out of there as soon as next week. Like,
yeah. Where do you think?
Because otherwise, things are going to get super stalled.
Is it going to be too late?
No, because look, the key is the quarantine, the games in quarantine. Like what would WA sort of, funnily enough, McGowan and his mob look like geniuses again, because their model of having Geelong and Collingwood come in, quarantine in a hard lockdown, play each other during that period, and then opening up to playing other games, that's the model that is going to have to be used in every state.
Yeah.
So that's what, it hasn't been the case here in Queensland. It will be from now on if teams do want to do that. It's same in New South Wales. Looks like South Australia's going down the same path. So that's where it's heading. So I don't think it's too late. I just don't think they wanted to do it on such a grand scale, because you've got to remember, I think someone told me the cost of these hubs up here was going to be $4 million just for accommodation. And the Queensland government paid half of that, I think. But the governments aren't all just chipping in cash now, because it's more of a necessity than a luxury.
Yeah.
I think the only place they might get money from is Darwin. So you can lock games into the Northern Territory. That's definitely going to happen. It's just a matter of how many and who goes there. But, yeah, that's the stuff they're working through now, like how to get as many teams out as possible, how it works, how long can they stay away for. WA will be like a situation that quarantine, like Geelong and Collingwood will play, the two West Australian teams play each other, maybe play one more, maybe play two more, and then roll through, say, you know, Darwin or Adelaide or whatever, and then maybe go back for a bit.
Jeez. I just don't know why they wouldn't. I just don't know why they wouldn't, especially these quarantine days coming in, why they wouldn't send another couple of teams to WA with Collingwood and Geelong.
Funny you say that, because I think that might be happening. Like, there's some chance.
Yeah, right.
It's definitely happening the week after anyway.
Well, because you do your 14 days over here or whatever, and then they leave. So,
yeah.
I mean, for their mental capacity and stability for those guys from those sides, they're going to leave WA and go where? Somewhere else. They're going to have to quarantine for 14 days. So
it's more than 14. So what they do is they get there, the first 7 days they're doing nothing, then they play a game, then they quarantine another 7 days. So then it's 14. You come out of that, you play, let's say in Geelong's case, you then play West Coast.
Yeah.
Then you stay another week, you play Fremantle.
Yeah.
And then you were supposed to leave after that and then potentially go to Adelaide or potentially go to Darwin or even go back to Melbourne.
But then they're back in that 14 days.
Now. Yeah, you,
so
well, yeah.
No, once you've,
because,
once no, you've,
because the key is,
they've opened
the key is once you've left Victoria, you've done your 14.
Yeah, but I've got a funny feeling that she's going to be 14 days everywhere almost coming up. So
coming out of Victoria, yes. But if you're going from WA to South Australia, you're not going to have to do another 14.
Don't reckon, even though they've been in society.
Nah. I reckon you're fine. Like, because they've been in WA, it's not a concerned area.
WA's pretty heavy on the 14.
Queensland are,
but their borders opening.
Yeah,
and late
for everybody
July.
Else.
Yeah,
for everybody else except Victoria. Yeah, true.
I just think if you do your 14 days
coming out of Victoria.
Yeah, if you do your 14 days, you may as well then enjoy Perth for a couple of weeks.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, you get some beach and get some, you know, proper actual fresh air as opposed to sitting in a... Are they going to Joondalup or something I heard yesterday?
Yeah, that's one of the things
that Collingwood's going to Joondalup.
What's out there?
Joondalup Resort, Golf Resort.
Okay.
Yeah, very nice. It's like Royal Pines, but even better.
Is it?
Even better, I don't know.
I don't know about that, mate.
Nah, Royal
You've been taking drugs on the Gold Coast or something. What's going on with that call?
Royal Pines is okay, but it's a bit run down, is my feedback I've got from most of the people staying in there.
It was great in 1984.
Yeah, fair call.
Yeah.
All right, sweet. Well, we might as well get stuck into the 2 minute warning. Got a new siren this week, too. We'll kick it off with Adelaide. So this is me. They got a few issues. 10 players had less than 10 touches against Brisbane. What's going on over there, mate?
You cooking
coffee
them.
Or something?
I'm just cooking my lunch.
Oh, wow. Look at the multitasking. The big news item of the week out of Adelaide was Bryce Gibbs. Was Baggers a cry for help from Bryce Gibbs?
Nah, Bryce Gibbs is done, I think.
So he hasn't been cited since round one. I think he played round one and he hasn't come back. He's got a fair whack on his contract.
What is happening?
Yeah, what's going?
He's in their best 22.
Yeah, surely.
But I don't get it. We said the same thing last year. I don't get what's going on with Bryce Gibbs. They're paying him a lot of money.
New coach.
New coach. That's what I mean. So what's happened where he just doesn't play anymore? The money's there.
Where does that sit on the list of giant stuff ups at the Adelaide Crows for the past 3 years? How high is the Gibbs contract?
It's top five. When your director of coaching comes out and slams all these guys that left and say he wasn't worth this, and then the bloke you actually paid the money to isn't in your best 22.
Isn't worth it either. But I mean, there's nowhere else for Bryce Gibbs. I wouldn't have thought.
If you were a club and you had 1 year and Bryce Gibbs said I'll come for not much, you wouldn't do it. You think this has tainted him that much?
Yeah. Nah.
Would he do? Would he go back to Carlton? Would Carlton just give him a little?
No, I don't think so.
It sounds like the noise from like Carlton supporters is that they'd welcome him back with open arms. But the crucial question is, can he play footy anymore? Because if he can play footy, surely, regardless of anything else that's going on, Adelaide would need good football players.
Well, there must be
more to this.
We don't know because he didn't even play the Resi's game. He was held over as an emergency. Yeah, so he isn't playing
there's
any
something
football.
Going. We said it all last year. There's something going on. He was obviously a good player and something's going on. That's why I think he's done. If you can't play Bryce Gibbs, or you're giving up two first-round draft picks and a shitload of money, and you can't play him, there's something going on, and I don't know exactly what it is. You guys might know what
it is. Do you remember that that first year they tried to get him and they couldn't get him? That was their chance.
Yeah.
That was their chance.
He had a good year that
year.
And then he was no good anymore. What's
Brisbane
that?
Lions, Rhino.
Yeah, so we talk a lot about Cluggage and Zorko and these blokes.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious to me who's leading the Brownlow medal at this point, and it's probably Lachie Neale,
yeah.
This guy has been unbelievable in every game he's played. He was huge again on the weekend. Your mate, Xavier, when I was doing the game with Hodgie last week.
Don't Xavier we're me.
Talking about Lachie Neale.
Xavier.
And he's Xavier College. He said when Neale signed on for Brisbane, Sam Mitchell, who was at the Eagles at that time, rang him and said, "This bloke is the second best midfielder in the competition."
Yeah,
flat
right.
out.
Who do you say was best?
Was Sam still playing then? He was number one.
That's been racking my brain ever since. Is who was number one? But that doesn't surprise me. Like pound for pound, this guy he never plays bad games. When he does, he comes back the next week and he dominates. He's super strong around the legs. He's at an advantage because he plays well up here in the conditions in Brisbane. It's almost perfect for him.
Yeah.
But he's had a fantastic start to the year. Like, what has he played? 4 games. He could have 10 votes already.
Yeah. He was quiet on the weekend. First half, he was tagged.
He came in,
then got really hot. He ended up with 6 behinds. Between him and McCluggage, they kicked 1 goal 11 from the midfield. 1-11.
Then that one bloke who had it was like a 6-leg multi, and that was the one that didn't come in.
Well, Lockie tweeted, apologies to I owe anyone a beer who backed me to kick a goal today.
He kicked 8 goals worth of points.
Oh, I know, great. But like to think that McCluggage also had the same woes. Both beautiful kicks of the footy.
And to think it didn't matter
could
at
have
all.
Could have been 20 goals.
No, mate, it could have been an absolute blowout.
How do you feel if you're Adelaide? Yeah, you've got away with one there.
Yeah, he's favourite for the Brownlow now. And I reckon, in all honesty, the way he plays and the way Brisbane are playing, you're punting against him getting injured, if that makes sense.
Yeah, okay.
I reckon he's just going to continue to poll. He doesn't look like...
Did he poll last year?
A lot of ones.
Yeah, okay.
Heaps of ones.
But he polled... Would he finish third or something? Yeah. He's top 5.
Something like the first 8 votes were one voters.
Yeah, right.
Someone I know was invested in him and didn't invest about the whole thing. Hey, Carlton Football Club. Now, I'm going to give someone love who we probably don't give love to very often. Levi Casbolt.
Levi Casbolt.
Okay, so I've just got here key position players. Jack Riewoldt, Josh Kennedy, Taylor Walker, Tom McDonald. Those sort of maligned, that sort of position. He averages a lot more kicks than all of them. He averages more handballs, more disposals. He averages more marks, double the second best on that list.
Okay.
And this is in short times.
Short quarters.
So he's averaging more than he did last year in full games. So in these short games, Casbolt's averaging more despite the time difference. And he's kicked 8 goals. He's leading that crew in the goal kicking as well, easily. And he's doing more ruck work. Levi Casbolt is All-Australian.
Oh
my God.
Wow, hello.
Well, are there any of those blokes?
No.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. If Levi Casbolt's All-Australian in 2020, I give up. That's the final knock.
Write it down. He's in the squad.
If there was ever a year where it was going to happen.
If there's ever a year he's in the squad, Levi Casbolt is the man.
I mean, he was just about the one that got him to that win on the weekend, wasn't he?
Yeah, brilliant, mate. I've gone through it all, mate. He is the king. He's sixth on the Coleman.
I will say one thing. I think we're too slow. We're really slow on turning things around with players. Like Levi, because he couldn't kick when he first came in, he had a few shockers.
Yeah.
That stigma just stays. Like we tend to just brand a player. This is what they are. And
yeah,
that's
can't kick a goal
out of the AFL.
Have you got Sammy behind his kick this year?
He's worked a lot. He's worked
how many?
Hard. He's worked really
What's
hard.
What's his goals behind?
How many? He's kicked 8 goals. What you reckon?
I would say 8.
8 goals, 12.
8 goals, 0.
Wow.
The bolt is back.
And how many
out of the full? 4 turnovers.
Yeah. Collingwood. The question I want to pose to you, Blakes, is does Scott Pendlebury actually age? 26 disposals, 7 clearances, 7 inside 50, 7 intercepts on the weekend. When is this bloke going to slow down?
Mate, so I'll go back to that Vic Country team I played in.
Oh, yeah.
Travis Boak, same age.
Oh, right.
Going incredible. Sean Higgins, same age. Going incredible. And Joel Selwood's turned around this year. Going, they're all the same age.
Jesus.
They just don't age, that group. It's incredible.
They were meant to step aside, weren't they, for the next generation?
Well, I thought they all were. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
And most of them looked like they were kind of heading there. Yeah. They just said no.
Apart from maybe
Pendlebury's going to be, by the time he's done, he's going to be one of the, I need the list, but he's probably one of the 10 best players to not win a Brownlow. And I just always thought he would. Like, the type of player he is. You know, they're in big games.
Early Norm Smith.
Winning a lot of games.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a normal. Like, it just made sense, right? But he's not going to win one now, you wouldn't think.
No.
I mean, maybe this year, who knows. But he's had a fantastic career. Who's had a better career out of him and Joel Selwood? Selwood's got the flags.
I was listening,
Is it hands down?
No, it's flip of the coin. I was listening to Carey, Ross Lyon, and maybe someone else on Triple M, and they're saying, who are the champions in the game these days? Like actual champions. They're arguing whether Fife's a champion.
Jeez.
And they didn't have
one
him.
That came out of
nowhere. They didn't have him in.
Yeah, right.
Ross
didn't have him in.
Maybe Ross withdrew his comments on that. But so Duck and them, and it just literally said your winning record, don't get me wrong, if you hold the standard you've got for five more years, then you'll be in the category. And they listed the 5 champions that are playing at the moment. It was Ablett, Selwood, Pendlebury and
Bud.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And that was there. So
is the rule you have to have won a flag? Is that the rule?
It wasn't a rule, but I think it makes sense.
Yeah. Essendon. Okay. So obviously everyone's talked about this bloody Zach Merritt thing a billion times over. And one of the debates that kept coming up was, it shouldn't matter, you know, how badly hurt Silvani is. It shouldn't come into the equation. Mm. Like, why not? Like, I'm not sure on which side I'm sitting on here, but why shouldn't it count for something?
Because it's confusing. So it becomes too confusing.
Gets busted ribs or whatever,
but
shouldn't the report from the doctors and the fact that he may miss games or whatever, shouldn't that matter or not?
So why isn't McDonald missing games this week with the Tom Stewart bump that snapped his collarbone?
Yeah.
Because there's 100 metres off the ball. Yeah. There's a bump.
And a swing.
There goes his collarbone.
Yeah. It's optics, isn't it? It's bump,
yeah.
bump. People expect swing your fist. It's like, it's a swing your fist.
I honestly think you almost the MRP person, whoever it is, they almost need to delete the vision of the person getting hurt. you know, not hang
around. Just hear what the action was.
Yeah, just see what the action was. No way Merritt should have missed a game for that. It does, and Silvani, to his credit, tweeted, happens 20 to 30 times a game. So that's what standard are you setting? Is it? It's too hard. Remove the injury. You know, Sean Burgoyne's action the week earlier, or 2 weeks earlier, was so much worse than Merritt's.
Sean Burgoyne could have killed him. The swing,
And then you got Merritt, who does a love tap, and unfortunately,
how's it? Is it sweet? Is Zach Merritt like ridiculously strong, or
I can't work it out.
Does Silvani just have like a weak rib?
Mate, we should line up and go, Zach, can you please just give us one?
Yeah, just see.
So I know. Like, man, last year when he fought Nick Nat and pulled his hair.
Oh, yeah.
Nick didn't know what he was getting himself into.
No, Nick got lucky.
Nick got separated. Nick would have been, would have buried him. Anyway, you just have to remove the injuries. It's ridiculous. Too hard to judge.
Date, you're right. The Stewart thing makes it all sound very ridiculous.
Fremantle. So Longy, they're 0-4.
Yeah.
Have Fremantle been bad, or are they going okay for a 0-4 side? They lose 5 this week. I mean, it's going to make it hard for them again just because he's the best player in the competition, I think, out. Say they go through the season 0-8, 0-9, 0-10. Is that a bad season, or is it still go under the new coach rebuilding?
I think it's a better year than ever to do it.
Yeah.
I wonder. I was thinking that too, when the pressure comes on, if there is still no win.
Yeah. Or is it just because there's no footy here at the moment, we don't really care too much? You know,
I think the thing is, like, if you look at West Coast and you look at Fremantle, and like obviously the microscope is big in WA, but everyone's pounding on West Coast because their expectations are far higher.
Yeah, it's expectations.
Fremantle have been in 3 of the games they played.
That's what I mean.
Port game where they got hammered in the rain. They've actually been in not winning positions, but winnable positions.
Yeah.
They've been okay. And I think there's things you can see that Longmuir is doing, which are okay, just maybe doesn't have the cattle yet.
Yeah.
But there's promise, and they're playing the right players. Like, they're getting games into Young, and they're getting games into Sarong. And
I think they're still in that. Things. Like, their worst 5 are letting them down.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. There's just like little bits and pieces. You see everyone try to do it, and these guys just kind of hit the level.
Their top 7 are letting them down. There's a guy missing.
Yeah, but their top 7 are kids.
Yeah, but okay. But like, there's been patches where they've kicked, you know, on the weekend again. There was like 5 minutes of football where they didn't touch the ball and there's 4 goals, game over.
Yeah.
The Brayshaw and Chera thing is a problem. It's not like we keep waiting for this. It's not happening. Like, you've seen more from Hayden Young in 2 games than we've seen from either of those guys in the 50 games.
Yeah, agree.
Yeah, you want your...
Look, they might still make it, but like, you can see straight away that Hayden Young's going to be a star, right? But you can't see that yet with those other 2 guys. There's still hope, but you can't see it.
Yep. And
what was the end?
Siren's gone.
Where are we at? Geelong.
Geelong.
Oh, so Gary Ablett, 350 games this week. Selwood, 300. Mm-hmm. Whose career would you rather?
Oh, Tablet.
Ablett.
Is it Ablett?
Yeah.
But you walk away. Okay, so you're the best, one of the best players in the game, obviously.
Yeah.
You got a couple of Brownlows, but you're less flags.
Yeah, you still got 2, though.
Yeah, but you don't have 3.
Yeah, I know, but you got 2 Brownlows.
2 Brown. Yeah, look, I don't know. I thought it was more of a, like, he's been through a lot of stuff.
More money.
He did get a lot more money.
He got some cash money that boy.
Yeah, he did go through a lot getting out of Gold Coast. He had bad exits at Gold Coast and Geelong. He was welcome back into the fold. Yeah.
But I think that would have been anywhere. Ever seen. It would have been anywhere he went. I reckon Ablett would have had issues at some stage.
When they put him in the big leadership sort of.
Yeah, I think so. I just think that probably doesn't sit well with him. I don't think he needs to be the captain. I don't think
he did the LeBron, right? So he left to go to a random team in controversial circumstances.
Yeah.
And then once he got paid and did a bit there, came back to the old team. But he hasn't done what LeBron did, which was win flags at
everywhere.
The first change and then come back and win another one with the team. Like, he hasn't done those things yet.
I would have loved to have known the full situation, like when Bomber was obviously cooking
losing
away,
his
losing
his...
What happened there, and was that the only reason why Ablett left, or would have Ablett left regardless? Because it cost him a premiership in 2011.
Yeah, it was a lot of money.
Yeah. So was it the money or obviously
combination?
How much of a combination was his falling out issues with Bomber at the time?
If someone had just said, like, I know the money's on the table, but here's why you should stay, rather than, you don't get out of here.
Bomber's
like,
leaving. Bomber's off.
Yeah.
Just hang tight. Would he stay? Don't know. Because he was not obviously going to be paid well regardless.
What is lunch, Rhino?
Today, it's a chicken sandwich, but I've had to cook the chicken in the oven.
Oh, geez. Wow.
It's frozen chicken. Yeah. It's going to be pretty good. Pretty excited. Okay. Gold Coast. Jack, we don't talk about it. We talk about Jack McCosius. We talk about Rao. We talk about Anderson. We don't talk about Jack Bowes.
Mm.
And I want to give some love to Jack Bowes because he's had – he switched to a halfback role. He looks super silky. He's had a couple of moments where he sidesteps some players, which just look great. I think he's going to be a really nice player. And, like, they've got obviously got a lot of good young midfielders coming through. He doesn't need to be a midfielder anymore. And what I like is that Stewie Jew has realised this early and gone, well, I've got too many of the same guy. What can this guy do that's different? And they can put him on halfback. He's a good decision maker. I think it's a fantastic role for him. And he will develop into one of the better defenders, one of the better halfback flankers as time goes on. But he's already got something pretty special there as it is.
Yeah, you said that in the decision-making. That's the thing that I like most about him. Yeah, he rarely makes a bad one. They've got winners on every line.
They've got winners now, don't they? And one of them I think is struggling a little bit, and I don't know if he's struggling. Is Ainsworth?
He's been going okay.
He's playing to the forward.
He's had some
moments. I thought he was going to be the one that might have leaped off the page this year.
Yeah, so did I. He hasn't risen to the levels we probably thought, but he's been there every time the whips are cracking. Like, kicked a couple of goals.
I think the reason you know now that they're getting better because, like, Fiorini is one of their better players the last few years. Like Darcy McPherson last year was pretty much one of their best midfielders. He can't get a gig in the midfield anymore because it's too jam packed. Like, and you start squeezing like guys like Bowes and McCosius to the back line and it's like suddenly you've got all this depth and you're like, well, okay, this is a team now. I think that back line's working pretty well.
Yeah. That's probably with the Ainsworth because he can do some things forward that the others can't do. So, like, you leave him there because they're so stacked in the middle.
But is it slowing his actual development and peak down?
Yeah, he probably could be more than he is.
What do you make quickly of the Joel Selwood?
It's kind of like Bowes.
Joel Selwood-Rao comparison. Rao's stats obviously much better.
Yeah.
People do forget, though, that Joel Selwood was sharing a midfield with Ablett Bartel. Good luck getting a hit to there.
He's unbelievable.
G-Dub.
The Giants. Now, there was a guy that got tagged. I got tagged in a lot of stuff throughout the week on socials. Who won the NAB Rising Star Award? Old Tommy the Tractor Green.
Yeah, he's a striking resemblance.
What a smooth mover he is, though. Like, he looks like he's stuck in, like, a diesel stuck in second gear.
Yeah.
Mate, did you know that the Carlton bidded on him?
At what,
three? In the draft? No, at 10.
Okay. Did he go that low?
Green was bid on by Carlton at pick 10. But being a Giants Academy product, the Giants matched the bid using 5 picks to get him.
See, in the whole lead-up, and this is what happens with the Academy sometimes, in the whole lead-up, he was a top three prospect.
Yeah, and then no one bothered.
No one bothered because he was going to the Giants anyway.
Yeah, and then they bid up and they grab him, yeah.
Yeah.
But he was on the weekend. He's in slow motion. A little bit of Bontempelli.
Yeah.
Like the slow motion.
He's a chunkier Bont.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? The ability to sidestep, picked it up cleanly at times.
Yep. His arm release. He's tall. Crazy. Like, he just gets it out of there.
Yeah, he's a tall sort of guy, and it never looks like he's in fifth gear, as I said.
Yeah.
It's just slow.
Yeah.
I love that you brought him up because that last 5 minutes of the game, like, he didn't win it for them. But there were three or four moments where far out, like the time that he had, like you said, the slow motion.
Yeah.
And it, like, to us watching, it looks like he's moving so slowly, but how come no one can catch him? It's because he's smart.
Yeah,
he's like, he takes that one side step to the left and, like, was just had so much composure. And he's like, you said the interview he did with Cameron and he'd just come out of the gym?
No, oh, big boy.
Massive. Yeah. This kid's 18. He's a beast.
Imagine doing oppo analysis for him and just being like, we got this guy covered. It's like, who is this kid?
Who's this green? So he had 18 on the weekend. Two-thirds of them contested. That's where the shorter games are going to hurt him. He can't really roam and lope around in any space.
Yeah, he can't get the 30. Can't get the extra cheapies.
No.
Hawthorn? Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, I have to give credit here to Alistair Clarkson. Something must be going on at Hawthorn because he just decided to take a pot at the state of the game.
Yeah.
And everybody ran with it. He opened his mouth and the entire Victorian media, even Gillen responded to it the next day. Yeah. Clarko is the master manipulator, isn't he?
He is 100%.
Hey, X, yeah. Can I ask this? Like,
what?
Did you, when you were working under him, did you know, when he did something like this, did you know there was an agenda? Did you know that something was
happening,
and can you tell when he's doing it?
Early days he used to do stuff because there was trouble at the footy club, like someone was in trouble for something. But right now, unless they've had a quarantine party that we don't know about, and Clarko's trying to divert conversations as quick as possible. Now, in fairness to him though, like, it was ugly as sin. They're not the most attractive team to watch, Hawthorn. Like, yeah, I have a bit of trouble watching him. I just think it was ugly football, and he's just frustrated. It's just ugly at the moment. And I think he said, 70 tackles and not one's holding the ball. The thrill of actually pinning someone holding the ball's gone. Like, maybe is it because of the crowds? They're shouting, ball. Maybe.
I think the umpires are making, this week they're making it a priority, but more because there was Heath Shaw audio when he was mic'd up for GWS.
Yeah.
Where someone had it like in a 1-on-3 and he was just, you could hear him shouting like, hold it in. And then he did. And it was like, that's a win for us boys. We've got a stoppage here.
Yeah.
Umpires noticed that they were using it as a tactic.
They've been doing it for years.
Yeah, I know.
And but years.
Now it's public. I suppose there's a difference.
Yeah, I just think, was it 4 years ago they changed the rules, I suppose, to, you know, get the ball going, move it on.
Yeah.
No, if they drop it, let's not worry about moving it on. Let's pay a free kick.
Hey, did you see the stats about kicking the ball backwards?
What's the next one? We'll save it at the end. We'll come back around.
Melbourne. Yeah. Angus Brayshaw, like, I watched that whole game the other day. Whenever Melbourne looked like they were going to do something and maybe win that game, it was pretty much because Angus Brayshaw was involved. But the time that guy spent on the bench was ridiculous. So something's up with Angus Brayshaw. Either he doesn't have the tank or they don't know how to use him properly. He's running at about 65% of game time, which is insanely low for a midfielder and one that is 4 or 5 years into his career. If that were a debutant, you'd be like, fine. If that were a ruckman, you'd be like, okay, mate. But for a guy like him, that's super low. And he looked good. It's not that he looks like a spud anymore. He's actually starting to show some signs. What is going on?
Mate, he's a victim of circumstances. No way he was the top two or three Brownlow. It just wasn't. And even those games weren't. It was when they wrecked the piss out of the football. Melbourne don't win their fair share of footy anymore in terms of mids. Yeah, like Clary Oliver will dig it out. And then it's gone. When they were hot, it was Clary Oliver would flick it to Brayshaw, who'd flick it to Vine, he'd flick it back to Brayshaw, and buddy, they'd run and carry it. I just think that he's just a victim of circumstance. I don't think he's in their top three mids, I suppose.
So who are their top three mids then? Oliver
Petrarca. Oliver Petrarca and Viney. Well, yeah, and Gawn.
Viney?
Gawn.
Yeah.
Well, Gawn count.
Yeah, if Gawn's in there. So would he be in their top five? Maybe. Just. I think he's probably just a victim of the position he's on the list, and Stiff Bickies, that's how much game time, the fifth best midfielder in every team plays.
They're wasting an asset there. They're wasting it. They spent a high pick on him. He's got pedigree. He's shown enough signs. I just feel like they're not getting as much out of him as they possibly
could. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. If they can get him back to that brand of footy, even though he wasn't the third, did he finish top 10? Where did he finish in the best and fairest that year?
I don't think it was top 10. Yeah,
10th, I think. Something
So, like, there's obviously parts of his game that aren't just footy related, like ball related.
North Melbourne.
I did something on this guy the other day, and I said he's not an A grader. Ben Brown.
Yeah,
he's had 28 disposals for the year.
Really?
28 disposals for the entire season. I mean, on the weekend he had 3 stats and played on a ruckman.
Thing that concerned me on the weekend, that mark at the end of the game where it was kind of his and kind of Curtis Taylor's.
Yeah.
And the full he just let him have it.
Oh, yeah, you
beat that out. No, that's all right. We'll chuck an E on it, mate.
We just eat it these days, mate. Yeah.
Yeah. Like why you're the full forward, mate.
He was beaten, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Like for the first time, Ben Brown looks the most unflustered person you ever see. No one's ever, he's had that run up that goes around 180 metres forever. Never changed it. Never done anything.
Look, kudos. Sorry, you go.
No, he's just never. He's always been played within himself, and it's worked so well for him. Now he looks like just a completely different person.
Yeah, and kudos to Curtis Taylor for having the balls to go. Nah, I want
my ball.
But when Ben Brown marks that ball, one, he should absolutely not let it go, and two, Curtis Taylor should be so scared of Ben Brown being the big dog up forward that he should know that it's Ben Brown's ball, regardless of how confident Curtis Taylor is. And like I said, kudos to him. But everyone in that team should know that if Ben Brown has it, he has it.
Yes,
don't get in his way. But he doesn't have that. He, as you say, he's so laconic and like seems like a nice bloke and an easygoing guy. That's not kind of what you want from that alpha.
I think he's vegan, isn't he? Vegan.
Forward.
He's vegan or something like that.
So he's kicked 6 goals, of which he kicked 2 in like the first minute of a game against Sydney.
Okay.
Went bang early. But then on the weekend, the commentators were saying, Ben, get back to the goal square. You're on a ruckman.
Like, push back.
But he just didn't. And it just makes you wonder. He's just not that player that he was at the moment.
Yeah.
Again, he's an endurance player. Maybe these short quarters are killing him.
Port Adelaide. Port Adelaide. So this is Brisbane Port this week. This is game of the round, right?
Yeah.
That's becoming a trend as well. I think last year that they had that one real early where it was Rosie late. I want to say someone kicked a goal late to win it at the Gabba. Great game anyway.
Yeah.
But is this next 2 weeks, because Port, like the top of the ladder, destroying everyone in front of them, but it's not like they have a big list of huge kills.
Yeah.
This next 2 weeks is probably going to be where they fit, because they play GWS after Brisbane. Where do you, if you had to make a call
they
now?
They might not play GWS up.
Wow, yeah, true. But if you had to make a call now, is this legit or is this just getting hot early?
No, it's legit. Spoken to a few people, it's legit.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe the change in the game, the shorter quarters and stuff suits them, but it's legit. They're winning the parts of the ground that is actually not just one area. Like, they're winning two or three of the most important, the outside. Sometimes those teams can be really good on the outside, but shit ass on the inside, and that's what they break. But they're doing both incredibly well. And the most important person up front,
Dixon.
Oh,
yeah,
mate, that was. We know he can do that. He's so big, Dixon. We forget how tall he is. Like, he is a giant down there.
The crazy thing is, he's doing it in the conditions that seem to be troubling every other forward. It's the sweaty ball and the wet conditions, and he's playing the best football of any forward in the competition in those conditions. And I think it's real too. Last week I was holding out. I was like, okay, well, let's see how they go against West Coast. Let's see, if this is real. We're a West Coast app. Now, after watching that game, I was like, fine, I've got to give them some respect, give them the credit. This is a big 2 weeks though. If they do end up playing GWS next week and they've got Brisbane this week, they're two great games. If they can come out of that, even if they come out of that 1-1,
yeah,
that would still be, in my eyes, a good result, as long as they don't get belted in one of them. But they're the real deal. They're probably the biggest team that surprised me. Sydney.
Yep.
Sydney. It's Richmond, but I'm talking about Sydney Stack. That's why I got confused. What has happened to Sydney Stack? I mean, they haven't named the teams yet. He's going to get dropped for this week. He was abysmal again on the weekend. He looks lost. They're playing him as a forward. He showed some great stuff last year as sort of reading the play defender and coming in hard off the square from the midfield. Like, we haven't seen any of that this year. He just looks like a lost puppy. Like, what's wrong with Sydney Stack?
Last year he ended up in the twos.
He came back injured and they chose to get over injury.
But spent time there. Wasn't back. Multiple games down there. Oh, man, I think there's good. Like, kid, and I think there's bad, and I think he just has a blend of both at the moment.
Second year blues, maybe a little bit of that.
Yeah,
as well.
I'll be shocked if he doesn't spend a period. Well, he can't play VFL, but a reasonable period where he's out of the side now.
Play a top-up game.
The Indigenous lads at Richmond are right off the boil at the moment. Sydney, Bolton, and bloody Rioli. South Freeman. Marlon.
Oh, Marlon.
Pickett's out as well. When those Indigenous lads are on, it is. Like the cherry on top for the Richmond side. They do the pressure, the goals, the finishing. But at the moment, their game style is just not working.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that great.
Hey, if Richmond and West Coast were playing this week like they were supposed to, who would you have tipped?
I'd probably have to tip Richmond.
I would have gone West Coast. West Coast would super wary of Tom Lynch.
Yeah. Far out. But those two teams, I mean... I thought about doing who's in more trouble, West Coast or Richmond from a long-term perspective based on this? Like, who are you most worried about going forward?
Yeah.
Is it Richmond?
No, it's West Coast because of the age of the list.
St Kilda?
Yeah, Sane has obviously whacked Richmond. Rowan Marshall. So, Ryder out on the weekend, soreness. Mm. Rowan Marshall had 15 disposals, 2 hot dogs, and 25 hitouts. Are we wasting our time with Paddy Ryder? It seemed bizarre to start with that he went there. A little bit like
especially after Rowan's year last year. Melbourne. Proust in North Melbourne.
It doesn't make sense at all. I don't get why Marshall, who is obviously a talented young player, needs a senior veteran who can only play really ruck because he's a liability up for at his age.
Nah, 100%. 100%. As soon as Ryder came out the other day, I was like, "Oh wow, this is good." Like, because Marshall, he thrived last year as the main man, as the solo ruck. Like, they move so much faster when they've got an extra runner in the side too.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
The guy that was Dean Kent they brought in, like, he's obviously a smaller, faster, more opportunist player. Like, they just looked fantastic when they run like that. Ryder can't come back into that team. I know they're talking about possibly bringing him in based on matchups. Why?
Too rough.
Other than the fact that he's Paddy Ryder.
Don't go with two rucks.
Oh, I agree. Two rucks is a thing of the past, I think. And the number one ruckman's just got a ruck longer.
Yeah.
Nick Nat's got a ruck longer. Yep. Sorry, too bad. You've actually just got to stay in there and ruck longer. And
just on that West Coast, I reckon we might see Bailey Williams this week. There's some chance, I reckon.
Okay, we'll save your ammo for West Coast. I love seeing a former player throw a bit of egg on the face of his old team. Dan Butler.
Dan Butler was
brilliant. Was brilliant. And I always thought he was a good player. Unlucky not to be in that side, Butler, after winning his flag in 17. Kicked three goals, 14 disposals, and was probably in the top.
It looked untouchable at times, didn't he? Just weaving through blokes.
Yeah, three or four. And he kicked some good goals.
Yeah.
Sydney.
So I wanted to ask, a few weeks ago, Rhino, you liked watching them. You thought there was something there. Are you still on board or are you real worried now?
I'm a bit worried now. They seem to be super one-dimensional up forward without Buddy there. It's basically Tom Papley or bust. And he's
doing everything he can,
Yeah, he's been brilliant. But they sort of haven't quite figured out how exactly to use Heaney. I know we talked about that last week. But look, Nick Blakey's struggling as the only man up there.
Big time.
You've got to remember, like, it's not just Buddy they're missing. Sam Reed, if he was up there with Blakey, he'd also be helping out a fair bit because he takes a bit of attention. The forward line is the big issue. Like that, it's basically Papley or bust. So the concern is there. I reckon West Coast are going to touch him up this weekend and get themselves back in the form.
The only thing is, we said that last year, I reckon they went up to the SCG and Bud kicked six, you know, that vision where the goal from the boundary on the siren, you see the coaches all ducking under.
That was that game
where they were just never in it and couldn't keep up with Sydney. That's my concern is if, you know, Lloyd and those guys off half back just go, Mills.
Yep.
West Coast at the moment look like they've got fitness concerns. They can't keep up. I worry that if Sydney come out and just go hit shit or bust, and if we lose by 10 goals, we lose by 10 goals, I am concerned about that.
Yeah.
I did like Longmire the other day for like the first time ever, basically just threw all the magnets around and went, okay, let's put Callum Mills in the middle.
Yeah.
Let's try this. Let's try that. Look, he was up for anything at that point, which was which he doesn't do that a lot. He sticks to his guns a fair bit. That was good to see.
And bloody Naismith, I feel so bad. It was like doing his knee at the end. He was playing a good game too for in return, 25 hitouts and 8 disposals. But like, off doing an ACL, and his sister's bloody passed away as well. It's just one of those ones where you just think, Christ, give a bloke a break.
Did you see Alex Johnson there has now had a seventh now?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, let's wrap it up, Alex.
He might want to stop playing footy,
seven,
mate.
Seven.
Okay,
bastard.
West Coast. So we obviously they've got a lot of problems, a lot of players out of form. The big names are all underperforming, but what prompted this bit for me was I saw Jacob Lansmere, he works for Sport FM, a good young fella coming through in the media. He had a stat he just posted. Jamie Cripps has not kicked a goal this season. Now, last year when they won, he kicked 27 goals in 12 games. When they lost in their 7 losses, he kicked 3 goals, and that was all in one game in that game against Richmond, which was one of the games of the year. So he is the barometer for this team. I can't remember a single moment this season where I can remember anything that Jamie Cripps has done.
Yeah.
Like I know he sometimes flies under the radar, but I cannot even picture one passage of play where he has looked like Jamie Cripps.
No.
Now, we know he had a different period of isolation. He went back to, I think, Northampton and spent it with family because he's got some health issues. But he is not the same player this year, and he's the exact kind of player that was the gravy for West Coast.
Yeah.
It's not they don't have the meat potatoes. They also don't have any gravy. They've got nothing at the moment.
They're missing a guy who's in the Tiwi Islands as well.
Yes.
Just even, that bit of spark.
Well, that's Liam Ryan's output's gone up, but it still doesn't make up for the...
Oh, yeah. Liam Ryan still, though, you just say he's been an average footballer. Like, you would say he's been great.
Yeah.
I think
He's been fine.
He's been fine. Yeah, yeah. I think that West Coast, what was I going to say? Jamie Cripps, he is an absolutely aerobic beast. Incredible running ability, like the Brad Hill sort of running style that can be speed for a long period of time. You're playing on Jamie Cripps, you can keep up for 6 minutes, 7 minutes, go to the bench for 5 minutes, come back on and do 6 or 7 minutes on him again, and you're done. Yeah. There's no, if you're doing 11, 12 minute runs on him, you're gone. You are no chance of keeping up with him.
So you're saying it's because of the shorter quarters?
Yeah, mate, a possible thing. He just can't work his opponent to the ground like he always does.
Dogs. Yeah, makes sense.
The Doggies. Now, there's one guy who we've been pasting, and he's the barometer. I've worked it out. He's the barometer at the Bulldogs, Tim English. Tim English was absolute trash the first couple of weeks. He had a big time during the quarantine. He's put on some weight. But on the weekend, he had 17 hitouts. I still reckon the hitouts are a bit of an issue. So the hitout count was 44 to 17. So he's still been absolutely smacked there by Naismith. Who I used to call Norm Smith. I thought he was going to win the Norm Smith one day. And Sinclair, who is obviously not a big fella, like not a giant, been absolutely whopped there. But he had 22 disposals and kicked a goal.
Yep.
He is as important to the Bulldogs as...
Bond.
No. Maybe McRae. but that's my point. I think
you were going a little bit farther.
Yeah, no. But I think he is the barometer a bit. If he can't be competitive, at least... If he's not winning the hitouts, finding the footy and running his opponent ragged like he did, they are so far behind the eight ball at the bounce because rucks and the big rucks, unless they're made accountable, they can damage a game. English runs around and Sinclair couldn't keep up.
Then Sinclair's in trouble.
Then Sinclair's in big trouble. Mm. And it doesn't so much worry about the hitouts too much because you know that he's going to leave and try and get the footy.
Yeah.
I thought on the weekend...
Some of that stuff he was like Dean Cox like. That
spectacular.
That he caught it in the middle... Gave hands, got it back, and then ran and hit the target, lace out. Like that was unbelievable. Like he just, it's like watching a giraffe run, but somehow gracefully. It's beautiful to watch.
Yeah, I honestly, and I'm hopefully not overstating it, but you've got Bont there who was incredible. Had 19 disposals.
Yeah, Bont made 50. That game watchable.
Felt like he had 50 on the weekend. He had 19, but behind him in terms of the Bulldogs being successful,
Tim English.
I can't think of many others than Tim English.
Norton.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, Norton's done. Are
you saying the needs for them, what they need to be
successful? Yeah.
All right. That's a real siren. I think the last one must
that's
have
a dramatic
been a real siren.
That
it is. It's got a real, like, you know.
We sorted that out while we were setting up the Zoom.
swinging back on a couple. You're talking about a stat about kicking backwards, Rhino. What was that? Can you
remember? Yeah, I saw one the other day, which was, I was surprised by it. And all the talk about, Ben kicking backwards, it's slowing the game. Apparently, the average per game for kicks backwards is 8.
Yeah. No, eight. I did see that.
That's not the problem. Yeah. And often the kick backwards is to start a switch, which is then hopefully opening up play on the other side of the ground, which is eventually how they get forward in the first place. Like that seems to me to be one thing we don't need to worry about, but everyone talks about it. So I just thought we need to make that as public as possible so that the old fuddy-duddies can stop worrying about kicking backwards because that's not the problem.
No, everyone knows. You just bomb it to centre-half forward and that's how you win games of football.
Kick it long down the middle.
Never handball.
There's one I want to address, actually. Fremantle, your mob, Nick.
Yeah.
Inside defensive 50 stoppages. Last week we had Fife who just didn't do his job and let them kick one of the goals.
He didn't do his job and then the two people on the other side didn't do their job.
Yeah. And then Raoul... On the weekend, kick one.
Getting around the back.
So this is what happens. This is what you do. Every football club since I was 13 has done it, okay? The two wings go behind the stoppage in between the goals, okay? 10, 12 metres off.
Yep.
Right? So their wingmen are obviously on the other side of the stoppage. Two half forwards come up and they grab their men. So there's no spares around the stoppage bar your two that are protecting the space.
Yeah.
Then you have your four forwards down one side. In some sort of structure. So if you win it, you got some representation, you kick it there.
Yeah.
But you can't have nobody standing between the goals. That doesn't work. And then they kick goals.
That was an extremely clear, concise explanation.
Yeah.
So very simple. Very, very simple. Two wingers.
It's never simpler for me to understand than that exact moment.
Two wingers behind the stoppage. Two half forwards come up and man the wingers up. Then you have four forwards down the line. You win it, you kick it to them. You don't win it, you have wingers there to stop the opposition kicking open goals.
I know. That was the one moment.
No, it really pissed me off because it happened last week. No, it did because they're into the game.
Yeah.
And then they pop one through and Rao looks like an absolute megastar, which he's going to be. But it could have been stopped so easily, twice.
Well, that was one of the ones where, like you said, the limitations of the broadcast of Australian rules football, like and what can be in a screen. Because he just came out of there and you And you're like, where did he come from?
Where is everyone?
Where did he come from and where is everybody else? You just really wanted them to do a wide shot.
But saying that, I'd love to hear more of that in the commentary of games as well.
I
know it's hard to turn that around very quickly and to just do that on the spot, but I mean, Tony Romo does it. Like, we always marvel at how that guy can call a play before it's happening. Like, there are brains. I mean, you just did it watching that game live. Like, I'm sure most of these guys who are in these commentary boxes are capable of doing that. They just need to be told that that's what we want.
Are you on a boundary this week, Ron? Oh, no, you probably lost your boundary game, didn't you?
I was on the boundary. I've been
COVID
shelved thanks to the
Thursday West Coast
COVID situation. Richmond.
Yeah. So why aren't you boundarying on Saturday?
They're not a seven game anymore.
Because that's not a seven game anymore. So, yeah.
Been given lemon sauce.
Oh, no. Yeah, so. Well, mate, we started to introduce it when you're back on and jostling with X for the boundary over here. Now.
No, I'm out.
Oh, you're done?
Yeah, Baz is doing it. Oh. Well, because he's hosting
as
well.
Yeah, I'm not
either. Oh, geez.
So Baz is hosting boundary and in rooms.
Geez, Baz is doing everything. Has anyone told Baz?
So, I don't know if that's common knowledge or not.
X and I were wondering which one of us it was going to be. It turns out it was neither.
The big dog just swung in.
So, Triple M if you're listening.
Available.
All right, sweet. What's on the agenda the rest of the day, Rono? Back out there?
It's all from the office in the 12th floor of the Avani.
All in the office. Oh, you'll be office. Doing absolutely. You've been watching any movies?
I haven't watched too many. I've been watching Shameless, you know, the TV show.
Yeah, it's funny.
I'm really into Shameless at the moment.
Well, you just started it.
Yeah. No, I'm about five seasons in. But,
yeah, right.
No, I'm powering through since I've been here.
Yeah, no, it's funny, isn't it? It's a good show.
That's a good one.
Old man reminds me a bit of Nick a bit.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay, great. Mate, you're a dead ringer of him.
Oh, God. No.
100%.
This is starting to get, so your folks and you got a lot of family still in Victoria, are you starting to get pissed off?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, same.
Do you know how it started?
How?
You heard about the security situation.
Oh, yeah.
Sharing cigarettes.
Yeah.
Trying to jag a little smooch and a bit of action in the rooms.
Sharing other things.
Going to a festive situation, Ramadan.
Yeah.
When they're meant to have five, there's 30. Someone knows they've got COVID and then it spreads. Then someone who has a cleaning contract with a company is questioned for tracing. Doesn't tell them that she's doing cashies on the side because she's worried about tax implications.
Yeah.
Of course, then that spreads through there. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. The state's in lockdown. My parents don't see their grandchild.
I'm just trying to get into Queensland.
Yeah, Queensland was bruised. We're bruised free and we still can't do anything because of Vicks. I was talking to someone last night actually, which is a bit sad. They've just had a child,
Oh, I can't.
And the mum gets teary. On FaceTime every time.
Yeah.
They're like, we can't do anything. Yeah. I don't know if it can work, but rather than doing the 14 days, can you do 6 days or something and you swab your nose on entry in hotel quarantine?
2 days later.
Then 6 days later you do it. If you've got two negatives.
You're out.
14 days, it's just so long.
Yeah.
I know, it's a long time.
It
seems like not much when you say it, like a 2 week holiday, but it's not a holiday. That's the problem.
No, it's so long when you... If you've got it, it's not too long.
Yeah.
But if you're like, I don't know, maybe, could have, not sure.
Probably don't, just have to be
just
safe.
Wouldn't it be like easier just to go up the snoz, give it 5 days, up the snoz again, oh, you're negative. Okay, you can go.
Yeah, but then you have to come back and do another test a few days later. Maybe you're allowed out,
but if they've done, if they
just to be safe.
Well, do three in 7 days then.
So
one of you guys needs to call the chief health officer.
Yeah, just let him know.
Oh mate, they love their airtime. Those blokes, they've got half a horn every time the camera goes on them.
All right, we want to wrap it up there. Thank you all for listening in.
A bit of politics.
Rhino X, thanks for coming in.
Cheers,
and we'll see you next week.